Today is July 7th, 2016, and this is episode number 367 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and today I'm powered by 5-Hour Energy. 5-Hour Energy, the drink for having energy for 5 hours. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on our question, you think about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@macobserver.com. And no, 5-Hour Energy is not actually sponsoring us.
So if you drink half of one, does that mean you have energy for 2.5 hours or you have half energy for 5 hours?
I don't know. I've never not consumed a full one.
And it's not a drink that I would ever consume, so I have no idea.
Never? Really?
Never. I don't like soda pop.
It's not carbonated.
It tastes like soda pop to me. If my drink is carbonated, it should be naturally carbonated, which means it's beer.
Beer is not naturally carbonated.
In my mind, it is. Don't you take this from me.
Yeah, it just happens. It's that they get the beer in the wild.
Do you know how the whole yeast process works, and it makes the bubbly stuff in there? And so if you bottle beer,
beer is carbonated.
Yeah, and it's yeast farts. If you make beer fast, cheaply and quickly, like Budweiser and Coors do, then sure, you're injecting carbonation into the beer because you're brewing it so fast that it can't make the yeast farts by itself.
And that's what I was thinking of, and I absolutely stand corrected, and you're correct. But beer is not, it's not carbonated per se, one that's not artificially carbonated.
Yeah, it's just,
right?
Its own little fizziness in it, and that's okay for me. But like soda pop stuff and Red Bull and 5-hour nuclear holocaust drink or whatever it is, I'm not into that stuff.
Well, no, I'm actually just plain wrong. Google, is beer carbonated? Yes, the carbonation of beer is produced naturally as a product of the fermentation process as the yeast consumes the sugar in the wort, producing alcohol and carbon dioxide.
So this would be
a fantastic example of me being completely and totally wrong, like in always wrong.
And you know what the awesome thing is? We've recorded this and it's going to go out on the internet.
Man.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have any,
and hold on, I've still got like 45 minutes to be wrong on some other things too.
Yeah. But you know, this one, the wrongness was so pure.
It was wrongness. It was captured in the wild.
Just like yeast farts.
Yeah, just like yeast farts. Yeah. But the cheap beers do get
cheap beers are artificially carbonated. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I went wrong. I'm not making excuses for being wrong, mind you. I was just plain wrong.
But it was a glorious moment because your wrongness really was totally pure, complete. And it was this magical package wrapped up with a bow of wrongness.
In the meanwhile, 5-Hour Energy is not carbonated and does not taste like a soda pop because it's this weird, not really pleasant taste at all. In any event, iOS 10, we had an interesting conversation about iOS 10 this morning.
We did, and it did not involve carbonation.
And it did not, or beer, at least not that I know of.
No, I don't recall beer in the conversation.
Or having been, did you drink any beer this morning?
No, I did not.
All right. So it was a beer for discussion. And you said something in our meeting that was, I thought it was really interesting. And that was something to the effect of,
I can't wait until the official release comes out so I can get this on my iPhone.
Yes. And you are running it. That opinion was based on running it on an iPad Mini 4 that you actually purchased expressly for this.
Yeah, actually.
Purpose.
Yeah. And I haven't had a lot of time to like really dive deep under the hood with iOS 10 yet, but my initial reactions, like when I see an alert come in, I want to grab the iPad mini as opposed to my iPhone to deal with whatever the notification is. The system is so much better on the iPad mini or in iOS 10.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I wanted to sort of like penetrate to the heart of why, what about iOS 10, made you elicited that response in you?
I like that, that we have all those notifications grouped in a way where it's easier to see what you're, what you have in your list. I like that they're available without accidentally unlocking your iPhone. That's always been a big problem for me. I hit the home button to wake up my iPhone and all the notifications are gone. So then I have to go back to notifications and
they're gone because your thumb or your whatever finger you're using is not that thumbs or fingers, mostly pedantic, but you're triggering Touch ID so fast.
Right. And now when I do that on my iPad mini, I press the home button, it wakes up my iPad, but it stays on the lock screen until I press the home button a second time.
Because iPad mini 4 does not have Touch ID.
It totally has Touch ID.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because iOS 10 is different. It's actually treating it different.
Yes, that's it exactly. iOS 10 is treating it differently. So when you get iOS 10 on your iPhone 6S, Brian, the way you unlock your iPhone will be slightly different because they've changed how the process works. So you won't swipe to unlock. You'll press the home button. And if you aren't using Touch ID, you'll just get the number pad. So you'll still be able to unlock your iPhone. You're just not going to swipe to do it anymore.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like swiping, maybe.
You need to give this a fair chance. Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to be change resistant before I've even tried it. And I certainly your because I mean, when you made this comment, when you were waxing extremely enthusiastic during the meeting about iOS 10 and how excited you were, you weren't. This wasn't like some kind of pre-worked, pre-planned presentation, or you know, you weren't trying to pitch to us the idea. You were actually just naturally reacting.
Yeah, and I love it. When I said I can't wait for this to go official, so that I can put it on my iPhone, I really meant it. I interacting with the device feels more natural to me with iOS 10 than it's felt with any version of iOS before. And just like I have my iPhone in one hand, I have the iPad mini in the other, and I'm just looking at my notifications, everything that's coming in, and I just really, really prefer what I'm getting for a view on the iPad in iOS 10. Just the navigation makes more sense. And just the way you use swiping more consistently, meaning swipes give you a more consistent result than they do in iOS 9, that's a great thing. And I think the home button being used in the way it is to unlock the device makes much more sense than what we've had before.
Kind of cast doubts on the idea that the next iPhone won't have a home button.
I will be shocked if the next iPhone doesn't have a home button, because that just completely negates the entire unlock experience that they've created with iOS 10.
Well, okay, to be fair, so we're talking about rumors that the iPhone, well, actually what we're theoretically talking about is iOS 10, but there are also rumors that Apple is dropping the headphone jack and then the home button too. Mm-hmm. With the next iPhone. And if not, like the headphone jack seems to be assured on the next iPhone. The home button may or may not be the next iPhone, or perhaps the iPhone after that.
Yeah, and I'm just not seeing it yet.
Well, so Apple could well have designed an experience for devices that still have a home button while designing another process for as yet unreleased products that doesn't have an iPhone home button. That's possible.
It better be a consistent experience across the board, or that's just going to be weird.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So, how much of it is the you know, the actual the UI elements, the way that notifications look? I mean, it's not just the fact that unlocking the device works differently, right?
That's
got
true.
You all excited?
Yeah. So when you look at the UI elements, and keep in mind, we still haven't made it past the lock screen here. Mm-hmm. Looking at the content that you do see when you swipe from left to right, so that you can look at you know, your news, your calendar, the weather, all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All the information that you're seeing is displayed in a way where it's visually much easier to identify the individual elements. When you swipe down so that you can look at notifications that you have, everything's displayed. I want to call it in a bubble, but that's not a fair description of it, but in a bubble. And it's much easier to identify every individual entry that you have. It's so much easier to look at content and find what you're wanting with a glance, as opposed to having to stop and look through the list. And I'm sure some people don't have this issue, but I have so many different notifications that come into my iPhone all the time. Mm-hmm. that it gets difficult to pick out the ones that actually matter in this specific moment. And I don't have that problem with iOS 10. It is just so much easier to find all those individual elements. And I do love that you now do a single press on the home button to unlock, as opposed to just putting your finger on the home button. This is a much, much better system. I'm very happy with this.
What else is standing out for you?
Other things that are standing out. Okay, so accessing the camera is much easier from the lock screen now. And yes, I know the lock screen, the way it's set up in iOS 9, you swipe up on the camera to get at the camera. But I found that it wasn't very reliable for me. And maybe I just don't have the right swipe gesture going on. But the fact that I didn't have the right swipe gesture going on, in and of itself, I saw as an issue, not so much for me, but for the interface. And in iOS 10, all you do is swipe from the right edge of the screen to the left edge, and you're in the camera. And in the tests that I've done so far, it's been really reliable. So I almost never have a problem with the camera just popping up immediately when I swipe. And my guess is that the couple times where it has been an issue won't be on my iPhone, because the screen is much smaller.
That makes sense.
Yes. And I also, those are probably the big things just from the lock screen. But the lock screen alone was enough to make me want to have iOS 10 on my iPhone today. I'm not going to put it. Huh?
Is there more proactive stuff on the lock screen?
Yeah, you have a search field that has a microphone in it, so you can dictate your searches easily. And so there's stuff like that here too.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it's a really well thought out interface. So I've waxed poetic about a bunch of stuff. The one thing that I've played with that I'm really not impressed with at all is the Home app, which for me is a big disappointment because I have had very high expectations for this app.
And the Home app is for HomeKit.
Right. So what we're doing in iOS 9 to control HomeKit, we're looking to third-party apps to control all the devices. And a lot of developers, when they created their products, they wrote their HomeKit app to work only with their own devices, which totally defeats the purpose of HomeKit. So exceptions would be Eve. They've done a really good job of creating their own app for their HomeKit devices that works with everything. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need to have Eve products. You just go get their app for free, and you can control all the HomeKit stuff that you have, which is that's great. I've been using an app called Home that costs $15, and it's worth all $15. And but now we have Apple's Home app, and I haven't been able to figure out how to make triggers happen.
Well, how much is this? You know, is this just beta related?
I don't know
stage.
What I'm assuming until Apple proves me different is that a lot of features in the Home app are simply missing right now because it's beta and they're just not there yet. So hopefully trigger controls and these other little things that I do in iOS 9, I'll be able to do in the Home app. But right now, the Home app is, it feels very limited. And it feels like an app where if you've used another app to set everything up, this is a nice place to go. So you have a pretty grid of buttons to turn things on or off.
Fair enough.
And and that's not the point of the Home app. You should be able to do everything from the single app.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that is just it's a beta. This is the first public beta.
Right. And the fact that they have the app in there. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And what I'm hoping is that because this is the first public beta that's available, that we'll see some changes. We'll see new features show up. I do like that apps that I rely on all the time, like 1Password and Fantastical, they're just working.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always an issue. I want to be able to go to the betas before release for my job at the Mac Observer, but my iPad is a production device and my iPhone is a production device, and I can't really do that. And part of the fear for me is third-party apps working.
Yep, I totally get that. And that's why this isn't going on my iPhone until the official release. I may put it on before the official release once we hit the point where the developer preview looks like it's finalized.
Mm-hmm.
So what, like maybe in early September, I'll start running it on my iPhone. But before that, no way, not going to happen. And same thing with macOS Sierra. It's on my MacBook Air because I can afford to wipe that machine and start over if I have to. I can't do that on my primary MacBook Pro.
Sure.
Yeah. So what I'm looking forward to is testing some of the new handoff features between the iPad Mini and the MacBook Air, and seeing how the copy features work. And it's just, there's so much about the way iOS 10 is thought out that makes me think that Apple really sat down and looked at how we're using these devices and figured out how to take those things and make them more efficient, which is great.
That is good. I am most looking forward to running watchOS 3.
So am I.
But that requires iOS 10 on
your iPhone.
On my iPhone.
Yeah, I really like the idea of being able to use my Apple Watch to unlock my Mac.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. I just realized I did something that is so force of habit. When I first turned on the iPad mini, mm-hmm. and then installed iOS 10, at that point, I was ready to start using it as a brand new machine. I hadn't done anything with it yet. So I did the first thing that I always do, which is create a new folder called Rurapente and put all the apps that I don't want to use into that folder. And okay. And Star Trek fans totally get the joke. I did that on this iPad Mini.
I'm a Star Trek fan. I don't get the joke.
Okay. The Rurapente is a penal planet that the Klingons control. And it's like an ice planet. And that's where Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy were banished.
Right. Oh, that was well played.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my 5-hour energy to kick in.
That's all right. It'll happen. I'm going to try deleting an app. Oh, the tips app. I have the little X to delete. Oh, I had to take a screenshot, Brian, because this moment is glorious. And it is gone.
Well, it's not gone.
No, it's not gone. But the fact that I don't see it now is a beautiful, glorious thing.
So what just happened for listeners who were following along at home is that
I just had a special moment. That's what happened.
Well, yeah, bygones. what just happened was that you removed it from your screen.
Right.
You removed your user data. Which app did you delete?
The Tips app.
The Tips app, right. You deleted user data, which may or may not have been associated with that particular app. Mm-hmm. But the app itself, the binary, still exists.
Right.
On your device.
Right. So it didn't really save me any space. Or storage space. What it did save me was screen space.
Yeah.
And then there's the wonderful psychological happy feeling that comes along with taking an app that previously was banished to Rurapente, and now it's just not visible anymore.
Right. Yeah, and if you were to delete, for instance, your contacts app.
Can't on an iPad,
but right. You could on an iPhone with iOS 10.
That's correct.
It'll remove all of the iCloud contact data you have on that device.
Yes, and that's an important distinction. The iCloud data that you have on that device.
Right.
So it'll still be there in iCloud and on your other devices.
Right. It'll also remove the hooks into things like Siri or any other aspect of iOS 10 that might have been able to communicate with contacts.
Right.
But the executable is still there. And what that means is that if you go and reinstall it, and to reinstall it,
you go to the App Store
and you look up contacts.
Now, originally that bothered me, but as I thought about it, it actually makes sense. Why should you install some apps in one way and others in a different way?
Yep. Absolutely. But all that's doing when you do that, all that's doing is reapplying those hooks into Siri and any other system services. And in the case of contacts, it would re-download your iCloud contacts data. Mm-hmm. In the case of photos, it would re-download your photo stream if you have that on. Mm-hmm. But the executable remains the whole time.
Right.
Which is sort of interesting, especially in light of a little thing going on over in South Korea.
Yes. So to go along with your segue, of which, by the way, that was fantastic.
Thank you. The actual segue.
Yeah. The reason we don't free up any space from the binary is because Apple actually built the apps to be part of the operating system.
Right. The apps, the what we think of as the apps are really just sort of an interface into that particular aspect of the operating system.
Right, right.
And South Korea is currently tossing around some regulations that require device makers or platform providers to make any sideloaded app, any pre-installed app, deletable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a thing in part because, according to the South Korea Herald, some local device makers pre-install 60 apps. 60 apps before you ever get your device.
Right, and most people never use more than, what is it, 12 apps?
Something like that, yeah.
Regardless of how many apps are on their phone.
And this has been, you know, this has been a hallmark since phones could first run, dumb phones could first run apps. This has been a hallmark of the way carriers treated us. They would take money from app developers to sideload a particular app on the device, and you know they pocket that money, and then you're saddled with the app on your device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that that grew out from the Windows PC market.
Yeah, PCs did the same thing, and Apple, of course, broke that. Steve Jobs came back. He said, you know, there are no preloaded apps except for Apple's apps.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they weren't sideloading third-party apps, though, and the PC makers of the world were doing this for a long time. Again, they would take money from developers in exchange for sideloading software, which is super annoying. And this is something that Apple freed us from when it came to carriers. You know, we forget, it's easy to take for granted everything that the iPhone has done to and for the industry and for us as users. You know, most of us take our smartphones for granted now.
That's true. I think a lot of people do. I do not, but that's because it's such a critical part of what I do professionally every single day.
Yes. But it's and because of this, it's easy to forget that in 2007, there was only one major carrier in the U.S. that would actually work with Apple.
That's true. That was AT&T.
AT&T. And that's because one of the things that Apple demanded was control over the software and control over the update process and control over what was on the device, what software was on the device. This is obviously before the App Store was a thing, because the App Store wasn't launched with the iPhone.
True. True. Yeah, but Apple had total control over that.
And Apple demanded this, right? This was a precondition for doing business with Apple. And AT&T was the only carrier in the U.S., only carrier in the world, really, at first, that would do this. And part of that was because carriers were making money from sideloading apps.
Right. Yeah.
And I kind of like to think of that as the tyranny of the sideload. And Apple freed us from that. But here's the interesting thing. Apple freed us from the tyranny of the sideload by carriers, but really, Apple was kind of sideloading apps of its own.
Is Apple really sideloading? Because this is stuff that they're like building into the operating system.
Well, Gmail was sideloaded. I'm sorry, not Gmail. YouTube was sideloaded, and Google Maps was sideloaded. This is out of the box with the original iPhone.
Google Maps.
Google Maps was the Maps app.
It was.
That was part of the magic of having the internet in your pocket.
Okay, so that was actually Apple's Maps app, but it used Google data.
Oh, you're totally right. Duh.
You know, I figure as long as I'm going to call you out on stuff today, I'm going to.
I'm still waiting for that 5 hour energy to kick in.
Yeah, my guess is that right as we get to the bumper to wrap up the show, it's going to hit.
Maybe the true story. I was kind of nodding off when you were talking about iOS 10, and it wasn't because of the topic.
No, I get it. it's fine, Brian. Whatever.
Man, I my sleep is so messed up, dude.
I know, and that's a bad thing.
It is a bad, you know, I know this is the pot calling the kettle black. And I sleep so much. I have a Casper mattress. I sleep so much better on that. The issue isn't me being able to sleep when I go to bed. The issue is the fact that I don't get sleepy until 4 or 5 in the morning, and I've got to be up at, you know, 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And for you, you weren't able to get to sleep for a long time.
Yeah, which really, really sucked. Yeah. So I feel your pain.
All right. So anyway, you're right. Google Maps was Apple's Maps app, and it was Google data. It was just called Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was an Apple app, but it was sideloaded. It was pre-installed.
Now, pre-installed like that with the operating system, and I know I'm getting like real nitpicky here, but I want to wrap my head around all this. Apps like that, is that really sideloaded?
Yeah, just because it's good doesn't mean it's not sideloaded.
Well,
that's the thing.
It's not the good or bad part that I'm getting at. It's when they come in to the system. So the apps that are included as part of the operating system, you know, that give you the core functionality, is that sideloading, or is that something where, say, like the carrier loads up their own apps on a device before it goes to the customer?
It's exactly the same thing. It's just that Apple makes good stuff. But even with Apple, there are people who don't want the Stocks app. There are people who want Newsstand.
Yep.
Right? There are people that don't want the Tips app. You deleted that.
I just deleted that on the show, and it felt really good.
There have been epic complaints about the fact that you could not delete Apple apps from an iOS device. For years, there have been epic complaints about that. And, you know, people, it was kind of a tyranny of the sideload. It's just that for most of us didn't really think about it that way because, A, it's not that many apps. You know, it's not like Apple was doing 60 apps like some of these Korean companies are doing, apparently, in Korea.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, that's app. I mean, yes, that's actually...
That's out of control.
You know what? If you're going to put 60 apps on my phone before I get it, I better be getting money from you.
Yeah, no kidding. Seriously. And if you want to preload 60 apps like that, then I probably don't want your phone.
Correct.
And I'm assuming that that even with Pages, Numbers, and Keynote, which mm-hmm. you have access to, but are they pre-installed?
No, you had to go and download those.
Yeah. Nope, they're pre-installed.
Are you sure?
Yep, because I didn't install them. I'm looking at my iPad Mini right now. I have Numbers, Pages, Keynote, GarageBand, and iMovie. So really? Those are pre-installed now.
It's pre-installed? I thought you had to download them.
You did initially, but not anymore.
Okay, well, that's sideloaded.
So, all right, so I will consider those sideloaded.
All of them, all of the apps, with the possible exception of the phone app. Every app that comes on your iPhone is sideloaded. It is.
Settings app.
Yes, it's sideloaded. It's an app.
Store.
It's an app that you did not choose to put there. Are they vital to the operation of the device? Well, yeah, in some cases. Mm-hmm. Settings, yes. Phone, yes.
Mm-hmm.
App Store,
yes.
Yeah, not really. No.
If you're going to use your phone as more than a phone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Apple that one. App Store is a critical app because it's a necessary app, because if you're going to use your smartphone as more than just a phone, then you need to have access to apps. Otherwise, your iPhone is just a really expensive feature phone.
So then the original iPhone was just a really expensive feature phone. Boom, burned. Ow! I just smoked you, dude.
In many ways, yes, it was.
No, it was the internet in our pocket. It was amazing.
It was amazing. It was
a computer, an internet, and a telephone all on one device. Are you getting it?
Do you remember the air getting sucked out of the room when we all finally did get it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you getting it yet?
Yeah, that was an amazing moment.
It was, in fact, an amazing moment. It was amazing.
Now, in the context of what the iPhone was at that point, it was a different thing.
Oh, move those goalposts. Go ahead. That's great. That's fine. Just move them.
Hey, I want to point out that you have an incredible record of stunning wrongness today.
I do.
I'm just pointing that out. As I move the goalposts, that I can freely move.
This is moving the goalposts, man. Just because I was wrong about carbonated beer does not mean that the App Store is not sideloaded.
No, I said it's a critical app. In the context of the original iPhone, where we didn't have any ability to add additional apps until we started jailbreaking.
I remember Michael Johnson spending an hour and a half on the phone with me, teaching me how to jailbreak my iPhone so that I could tether my laptop.
Yes, I remember doing that as well.
Yeah, because that was like, oh my God, magic.
Yeah, I do remember the first time I jailbroke, I was like really worried that I was going to brick my iPhone, and then it worked.
Oh, I wasn't, because that wasn't much of a thing at the time. Well, for the original iPhone, bricking wasn't really, like, jailbreaking didn't really threaten to brick your phone.
No, but I knew people that did. And they were able to get it fixed, but it was a pain. So what I was really worried about was putting myself in a position where I had to do a lot more work just to get my iPhone working again. But once we hit the point where we had the App Store, then the App Store app becomes very critical, especially now that we can delete apps. So if you could turn your iPhone into nothing more than a cell phone with a very pretty screen, and without the App Store app, you have no way of changing that.
The Korean regulations, and so these Korean regulations, which may or may not be binding, I'm not actually sure about that. I don't know if they're suggestions or actual rules. I think they're actual rules, because it
looks like the rules without any repercussion.
That would actually make a lot of sense. And Google and Apple are protesting these rules. There's a carve out in the rules for apps that are categorized as essential. One would assume, for instance, the phone app would be essential.
Sure. The settings app.
Settings app would probably be essential. A browser would probably be considered.
I don't know essential. If they would consider that essential, because you can get other browsers.
Not without a browser.
If you have an App Store app.
If you have an App Store app, but on a a Google phone, an Android phone,
then you can have the Google.
I bet you a successful argument could be made for both the App Store, despite my earlier protestations, and the browser both.
I bet you're right, especially on Android, because if your only option for adding new apps initially is to go just through Google, then that seems to be defeating part of the purpose behind this South Korean regulation.
Well, and you know, at least one publication was sort of pitching this as the South Korean government trying to hobble iOS devices because they're so much better than Google devices. But I honestly think they, it's patently Apple, and I think they misunderstood the regulations. The regulations here allow people to remove apps. They're not saying that companies can't sideload.
Right.
They're just saying if you do sideload it, it needs to be deletable.
Right. And I don't see this as a move to hobble Apple. This looks to me more like a way to rein in the excessive sideloading.
Yeah, the app
that we're seeing
local companies.
Yeah, I mean, preloading 60 something apps onto a device. That's crazy.
That is actually crazy. It's offensive and crazy, and it also seems counterproductive because so now I'm paying to have my app on that phone, but there are so many apps that, I mean, the chances of someone noticing my app amongst them are slim to none.
My guess is a lot of these apps that are being sideloaded in this way are not so much apps designed to or that are there because someone paid to promote their own app, but because the carriers and service providers want to promote their own services. So they've loaded up all these apps that target just their own things.
Oh, you know what though? I bet you there is some like platform spreading here. So, you know, I bet we're both right that there are some developers who are paying to have their app for the exposure, and then also carriers who want to promote their own services.
I will accept that. I think that's probably very true. Yeah.
Yay!
Hooray! You weren't completely wrong.
Good times.
Good times indeed. So, all right. So I'm with you. I don't think this is an Apple bashing thing. And I don't think this is something that's designed to hobble any specific company.
But, you know, here's the sort of interesting thing to me. Apple freed us from the tyranny of the sideload, but as Apple developed more and more of its own dedicated iOS apps and services, Apple was sort of imposing its own tyranny on us. And until iOS 10, which hasn't even been released yet.
Right.
And that is sort of, I mean, it's interesting to me that it has taken Apple until iOS 10 to allow us to delete Apple apps, or at least from our screen, even if the binaries are still there, when one of their stated things up front was to free, using my terminology, was to free us from the tyranny of the sideload. I mean, I remember back in the day, Steve Jobs talking about that and what a pain it was to have you know, carriers loading their own crap onto devices before we ever got them. And Apple was doing the same thing, and they're finally fixing that in iOS 10. Now we can delete that stuff, and that's great. But it's interesting to me that it's taken all this time to happen.
You know, it is kind of interesting. It wouldn't surprise me if this just fits in with the slow process that Apple went through just getting us to the App Store. Because originally, Apple didn't want to let us put any third-party apps on our devices at all.
Steve didn't.
Yeah, well, he was the voice of Apple at the time.
Yeah, but many people within Apple were saying we've got to do... We've got to do third-party apps.
Sure, but until Steve was ready to let that happen, Apple was not going to let that happen.
Yes.
And that's what I mean by that. And, so we went through this in the relative lifespan of the iPhone product line. We went for quite a while without being able to officially put third-party apps on our phones. And then when we got that, it's been a slow process of changing how Apple acts towards the apps on our devices you know, and now we're to the point where Apple's opening up more of the operating system to developers, which is something we didn't have for a long time. And through this slow process, now we're finally to the point where Apple is saying, okay, you can hide the apps that we install that you don't want to use.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because
do tell.
You've got an app like the stock ticker app.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not of interest to, and I'm pulling this number out of thin air, 90% of the world doesn't follow the stock market.
I think you're being a bit conservative there, Brian. We'll go with 90%, but it wouldn't surprise me if the number's even higher.
Yeah, fair enough. And those who do care about the stock market want something better than Apple's stock ticker app.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's a fine app and everything, but the third-party solutions that are out there are infinitely better. The E-Trade app has long been an exemplary piece of iOS coding.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just one. There are plenty of apps that'll just follow stocks for you too, that aren't tied to a trading platform like E-Trade. And so, you know, why we couldn't delete that is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's on my iPhone 6S. It's in the Rarapente folder.
Is that actually what you call it, by the way?
Yeah, seriously. It's Rarapente.
What happens if I go? There we go.
Are you doing some amazing magical thing right now that involves people being able to see what we're doing?
No, I was actually just making sure that you couldn't delete the stocks app in case I was wrong, and you can't.
Oh, I know you can't. There are many times where I rage pressed on it to try and delete it.
Rage pressed. I like that.
Oh, thanks.
Right. So, long story short, it's a much needed change. And it's almost, by the way, it's almost like Apple has built this into iOS 10 to...
it's like a preemptive move
to, you know, to fall in line with South Korean regulations on this, or maybe because Apple is aware that places like the EU could well regulate the same thing.
Yes, that's where my preemptive move idea came in, because clearly in relation to South Korea, this is a reactive move.
Right, and if Apple was going to have to allow it to be able to operate in South Korea, it's not going to want to do a special version of iOS just for this, you know, just for the South Korean market that allows apps to be deleted. So, yeah. Either way, anyway, it's a good move. It's funny. Do you remember during the keynote, during June's WWDC keynote, when they said that you could delete apps from the home screen, and that's how they put it, the developers started cheering.
Yeah, of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everyone that was watching it, except for the three people that were saying, I can delete apps? Because they didn't even realize they could add apps.
That's true, or that they could delete them once they did. A lot of people don't understand that you can delete apps once they're on your phone.
Well, it's not...
Probably most of our readers and listeners
most
understand
of our,
that they can do that.
Yeah, and they're showing their family and friends how to do it. But it's not an intuitive thing.
No, it actually is not intuitive. It's intuitive once you understand it, but that's not intuitive.
Right.
That's not the depth. I mean, it makes complete sense once you know how to do it. So, yeah, of course, that's how it works. But you know, you don't necessarily get there.
Yeah, that doesn't make it intuitive.
No, it doesn't. All right, I've got a sort of a non sequitur for us.
Awesome.
Did you see that cool stuff found I did on the Fibonacci miles to
yes,
miles to kilometers conversion?
That is so cool.
It's so can you explain what the Fibonacci sequence is?
Poorly. It's it's if you take crap. No, I'm going to totally botch it.
Great. So in mathematics, I'm quoting from the Wikipedia here just so we can not mess it up. The Fibonacci numbers are the numbers in the following integer sequence called the Fibonacci sequence. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, and it goes on forever.
All right. We'll go with that. That sounds good.
By definition, first two numbers in the Fibonacci sequence are either 1 and 1 or 0 and 1, depending on the chosen starting point in the sequence.
Yeah, and then you just add and add and add each.
Yeah, each subsequent number is the sum of the previous two.
Okay, there we go. That's I was going to totally screw up just describing it. I was going to have it right, but I was going to make it sound way too complex.
Right, so 1 and 1 is 2, 1 and 2 is 3, 2 and 3 is 5, 3 and 5 is 8. 5 and 8 is 13, et cetera.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So someone on Reddit, I think I've got the name here.
Almighty Bob 1.
Almighty Bob 1. Right. He realized.
Which means there's an Almighty Bob. So can both of them be Almighty? Or do you have Almighty and then the penultimate Almighty?
That's a very, very excellent, very excellent question. Yeah, I don't do nits. If I have to put a number in my name, I'm going to come up with a different name. Anyway, whatever. So 3 miles is 4.83 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
If you round that up for quick and dirty conversions, 3 miles is 5 kilometers.
Right.
5 miles would be roughly 8 kilometers. And 8 miles is roughly 13 kilometers. So it follows the Fibonacci sequence for which is only semi useful if you're looking for how many kilometers 3 miles is, 5 miles is, 8 miles is, 13 miles, 21 miles, 34 miles, 55 miles, et cetera. Right. Obviously, there's a lack of precision there, but it'll still give you some super, super easy guesswork in those lower numbers. You know, like you can know that 10 miles is going to be somewhere between 13 and 21, for instance.
Right. So, and regardless of whether or not this is really useful for you as you're trying to figure out distances, it's actually really neat that you can use the Fibonacci sequence and get a rough idea about a distance conversion.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. You know what? Let's I've got a crazy idea.
Okay.
Let's actually check this math.
Okay.
That's a crazy idea, I know. So we've got we'll use this calculator. And then we'll go, where is my article? There's my article. All right. So I think 1 mile is 1.61 kilometers rounded up to the second decimal place. So 5 miles times 1.61, 805. Yep. All right. That's good. We'll just kind of jump down to 34 miles times 1.61. 54.7.
All right, let's jump up to a number that's not on the chart. 144.
Okay, 144 times 1.61. What should it be?
Hold on.
What's the next
144
number?
144 miles.
Plus 55.
In kilometers is 231.
Yeah, number
0.74. And so our appropriate number in the 55 Fibonacci
and 89.
sequence
is 144.
There we go.
No, so it's not right. Wait, 144. What do we do? We
so top men 144 144 plus
89.
That's 89 equals 233 and 231.76.
So does it actually fail there?
It's a little bit farther off, but it's still close.
Oh, it is further off. It's totally further off.
My so guess is that as you go farther and farther down the sequence, you're using larger and larger numbers, the distance will be farther and farther off. So what this tells me is that if you're trying to drive across it town,
55.
It's okay. But if you're trying to use this to navigate to, say, another planet, maybe you should rethink your profession.
Yeah, that's true. So the last one that it's semi, that it's a rounding error is 55. At 89, it actually becomes a little off. Because 89 would be 1.43.2 miles, which does not round up to 144.
All right. So that's probably why he did his chart
the way he did.
The way he did. To show the part that's actually relatively accurate.
All right. It's still cool.
It's still really cool. Just seeing that this pattern is there is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very, cool. Very, very much agreed. So that's our random nerdy thing for the day.
Yeah. And I do like it when you talk nerdy to me, Brian.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you got to take us out on that note.
I think so. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Carbonation.